so glad Jesus arose, aren't you? And man, what a good song. If that didn't light your fire, your wood's wet, something's wrong with you. You don't have the joy of the Lord, you need to find your joy again. And that don't get you, at least some of you, I know some of you will never shout, never say amen. But on the inside, you should have been going, I just want to say it. And it just wants to get out, you know. And maybe some of you are that close to jumping a chair or something, but we don't do that in a Baptist church, so you can't do that here. You get carried out by the deacons, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read the first seven verses of chapter 4. And we preached verse 7 before, and we emphasized in verse 7 in a sermon prior to this, emphasized that we have this treasure, and we emphasize the word earthen vessel. And by the way, we are earthen vessels. We're just clay pots. We are. I know this is contrary to humanism and what we've been taught growing up, some of us, especially our generation, with the self-esteem movement. But the Bible describes us as earthen pots, worthless vessels. My value is not found in and of myself. My value is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. My value is not found in what I think of me. It's what Christ thinks of me. I am telling you, if you'll find your value in the Lord and not the value in and of yourself, your life will be far greater. And you'll enjoy your life. See, if you have a proper view of Jesus, you'll have a proper view of yourself. Don't spend so much time on you. Spend time on Him. Put Him first. Think upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything will turn out just fine. Philippians says, look not every man on his own things, but everything also on the things of others. And if we'll think about others and take care of others, God will take care of us. That is the biblical principle. So we have spent some time talking about the earthen vessel, and we'll, no doubt we'll preach on that again. But let's look at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and so he just, in the previous chapter, had been teaching and preaching on that the New Testament is far more glorious than the Old Testament, that we have a greater covenant with God than the Old Testament saints had. We have a better contract than the Old Testament's contract, and I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Aren't you glad you're not having to go to the temple yesterday and take up, make an offering and kill a lamb and do all those things? I mean, they had it worse. That's not the best way to put it. They did not have it better than we. We have it far better. And so Paul spends a whole chapter on it. Says, hey, we have it better. Therefore, seeing we have it better, seeing we have this ministry, the New Testament ministry, the New Testament covenant, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, Satan, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant of Jesus for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Remember that term, glory of God, is who and what God is. So God has given us the light, the knowledge of who and what God is, in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. What treasure? That's the New Testament covenant. I'll go further and say it's the gospel. I'll go further and say it's Jesus Christ. They had the shadow in the Old Testament, the shadow of things to come in the Old Testament, but we have the real thing. We have Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, in person. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the treasure we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, for the treasure that he is. And I pray today we'd see the significance of it. Well, thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a treasure we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a treasure we have in the New Testament ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we think of treasure, we think of something valuable. We think of something valuable. We think of gold and silver, jewels, diamonds. We think of, if not, we think of something useful but in abundance. We think, man, I found a treasure of cupcakes in abundance. I'm just trying to think of something. You know, you go to Sam's. I went to Sam's this week and I bought things in bulk that I didn't think you could buy in bulk, you know. They've stopped making the little bags of potato chips and they make them like this big now. I found a treasure of potato chips. So a treasure is not just gold, silver, stone. It can also be an abundance of something. The Bible refers to them finding a treasure of barley or a treasure of wheat, a treasure of oil. So there is something in abundance, something valuable. We think about treasure. It's something that is sought after. Think about finding a treasure map and with an X on it. If you found a treasure map, an old treasure map that was all, you know, you could tell it was very old and you saw and it made very evident, you'd get a little excited, wouldn't you? A little, maybe just a little. I mean, a treasure map. We think about those who have the various stories we've read. I've read and watched several times, you know, different harrowing stories of people trying to hunt for treasure who have lost their lives and people who have been trying to find treasure who found it. They're along Florida's coast where there's still treasure washes up on shore sometime and they're still digging. They found just here a few weeks ago millions of dollars worth of gold coins. It's amazing. Treasure sought after, lives that have been given for finding treasure. And we could think about the dearest treasure we could think of and the gold and the silver and precious jewels, whatever it may be. But the most precious treasure we can have is Jesus Christ. He is the greatest treasure to be found. And I'm going to share with you why. By the way, there is a good map to finding the Lord Jesus Christ. This leads to Him. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. As we travel together, my Bible and I, let's sing it together. Ready? I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. As we travel together, my Bible and I, you have to raise your Bible up. Let's do it again. Ready? I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. Travel together, my Bible and I, my iPad and I. I have a wonderful treasure. This is the treasure map that leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a great map. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible tells us and gives us a trail that leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. From Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Bible says to Eve, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first prophetic prophecy of Christ to come, and that Satan would bruise his heel, but Christ would bruise Satan's head. We think about, I'm going to read just a few of these. Genesis chapter 12. We don't have time to trace the whole line, but we think about the roadmap that leads to Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 12. He said to Abraham, now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. I just want to remind you, the Bible teaches, the principle is that we should support Israel. You say, well, Israel doesn't deserve it. Doesn't matter whether they deserve it or not. The Bible says, support Israel. He who supports Israel is blessed. Those who do not are cursed. I just follow the Bible. And in thee, he says to Abraham, in thee shall all, not just the Jews, but all the families of the earth be blessed. And I could walk you through it. I can walk you to Genesis 15. He says in verse 4, he says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Abraham, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars that thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted him for righteousness. And God repeated the same promise to Abraham in Genesis 15. God gave Abraham a picture of the sacrifice that Christ would make on Calvary in Genesis chapter 22. When Abraham offered up his own son, God asked him to, tested Abraham. And he offered up his own son Isaac on the cross. And we could trail through time. We can go to Exodus and the Passover lamb. We can just take our time. We could follow the map that leads to Jesus Christ. We think about there in Genesis chapter 49, where Jacob was blessing his children before his death. And he said that in Judah, that a lion would rise up in the tribe of Judah. And one day, the king would set on the throne of Israel. By the way, that happened. Judah's line, David one day, the future seed of Jacob, set on the throne of Israel. David, King David. And then in Genesis chapter, I'm not going to go read it, but 2 Samuel, the same promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15, the same promise that was given to Abraham's son Isaac, that he would one day be the progenitor. His seed would come, and he would sit on the throne. That same promise that was given to Isaac and Jacob and given to Judah was then given to David, King David, the second king of Israel. That one day, David was told, one day through him, the Messiah would come. David was told, was promised, that his throne would be eternal. The eternal throne of David. How could David's throne be eternal when he died? Well, it's not speaking of David. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Every lamb that was slain in the Old Testament pictured Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. When the Jews came to the temple and offered up a lamb, offered up a sacrifice, they were taught by the priest that this pictured a Messiah who would come and take away our sins and provide that salvation we need from the wrath of God. They were taught that. The Bible says that Abraham, the gospel was preached unto Abraham. You can go read it in Galatians chapter 3 if you doubt what I'm trying to say. Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says the gospel was preached unto Abraham. The roadmap that leads to Calvary, and Calvary is X marks the spot. The roadmap that leads to Calvary and the cross marks the spot. The Old Testament scriptures lead us to the greatest treasure there's ever been. And that treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the New Testament gives us the same map. It's a living map. We see Jesus Christ in the flesh. We see Him die on the cross for us. And now we look back to Him for salvation. The Old Testament saints looked forward to Him for salvation. We look back to Him. And can I remind you that we're to be living maps. That the Scripture is our map that leads us to the Lord Jesus. And we're thankful for the cross of Calvary and that He rose again the third day. The Bible's our map. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." But we're to be living maps. We as Christians, we are to be lighthouses. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Then He said, "Ye are the light of the world." And we're to be lights. We're to be living testimonies. There is something to be said of lifestyle evangelism. And though I don't believe that just lifestyle evangelism will save anyone, I do believe that it helps to give us power as we witness to someone. So we're not just to live the Christian life. We ought to do that. But we ought to tell others of the Lord Jesus, that we should go and tell others. So we believe in lifestyle evangelism. It's important, but we also believe in confrontational evangelism. In other words, people are not just going to get saved by how you live. They're going to be saved by what you tell them. That's backed up by how you live. Y'all wake up. It's okay. We ought to be witnesses in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We ought to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow in His steps. By the way, Jesus Christ was the greatest soul winner. He went about doing the Father's business, and the Father's business was leading people to Him, seeing people get saved. We have a treasure. A treasure. Let me give you a few things about this treasure. We have this treasure, which is Jesus. Number one, it's a peculiar treasure. That's hard to say if you're a Texan. Peculiar. In other words, there's nothing like it. The Bible refers to us as peculiar people. There's nothing like us. And the Bible makes it clear that Christ is a peculiar treasure. A treasure beyond all treasures, not to be compared with silver and gold. would be like comparing pearls to pebbles and diamonds to corn. I like this one, gold to crayons, silver to aluminum. I didn't come up with those. I read those somewhere. The treasure above all treasures, a peculiar treasure, and Christ is that treasure. Number two, He's a precious treasure. He's a precious treasure. That means, that word precious means of infinite worth and value. Of infinite worth and value. Think about His blood. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the," what? "Precious blood of Jesus Christ." We're not saved. We don't escape hell and having a home in heaven by putting our faith and trust in silver and gold or putting our faith in traditions of men. But we're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You say, "Oh, you bloody Baptists." Absolutely, we're bloody Baptists because the Bible's bloody. Jesus Christ gave His blood for us. He shed His blood for us. It wasn't just His death that was necessary for our salvation. And I'm so thankful that He was willing to die for me. But it was also the blood that was shed on Calvary that was necessary for me to have eternal life. It's both. I don't care what any theologian can say. The Bible makes that very clear. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You think about all the songs that have been sung. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. We have a wonderful treasure, a precious treasure. By the way, not only is His blood precious, but the Bible refers to His promises are precious. "Whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. I'm thankful for the precious promises of God. I'm thankful that He's promised to never leave me nor forsake me. I'm thankful that He's promised to supply my needs. I'm thankful that His promises are precious. In other words, they're of infinite value and worth. Why? Because His resources are endless. And therefore, whatever He promises, He will fulfill. By the way, if He doesn't, He's not God, Hebrews tells us, because God cannot lie. I'm thankful for the precious promises of God, the infinite worth and value of the precious promises of God. The Bible refers to us who believe as being precious. I think that's pretty awesome that God would see us that way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." Talking about Christ is precious. Philippians 3, 7 through 8 says that Christ is precious to us in that Paul was willing to give all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it for a second. He says that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, that he was willing to count all but loss that he might know Jesus Christ. That's how precious knowing Christ was to Paul. He was willing to give up family, and he did. He was willing to give up riches, and he did. He was willing to be shipwrecked, bitten by snakes, beaten more than once. He was willing to do whatever it took for the precious knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, "I count all things but loss that I may have and know Christ, that I may win Christ." By the way, he said, "I count all things but dung, sewer, refuse, that I might know Jesus Christ." Paul considered Jesus Christ to be precious, right? Amen? We should have that same feeling and that same value placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a peculiar treasure. He is a precious treasure. And then I like this one. He's a free treasure. You think about the treasures that have been sought after, and you can, I mean, there's multitudes of accounts of people seeking treasure, the sacrifices that were made to get the treasure. Many times the people that were killed, I'm not talking about killed in finding the treasure, but killed in getting the maps to get the treasure. I mean, the thievery that goes on, the murders that go on to get a treasure. But that's not the treasure like this one. This treasure is free. It's given to all. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life." This treasure is free. I know this is elementary, but maybe there's someone here this morning who's never accepted Christ as Savior. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ is free? The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's the penalty of sin, of being a sinner, of being selfish by nature. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift. Christ is a gift. I can't emphasize enough this morning that salvation is not earned. It's not by being a good person that you get saved. It's not by joining the church that you get saved. But it's by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Salvation is found in Him. We have this treasure. It's a free treasure. It's freely given to us. Fourth, we have an enriching treasure. An enriching treasure. Those who have this treasure are made rich. I don't know what you would consider being rich today. Maybe you think you are rich today. Maybe today you don't have anything in the bank. But if you're a Christian, you're rich. If you're saved this morning, you're rich. Because to have Christ is enough. I'm going to cover that more here in a minute, but Christ, to have Christ is enough. We think about the story of the rich man of Lazarus there in Luke. The Bible says that the rich man was rich and fared sumptuously, and Lazarus was a beggar there at the gate of the rich man, and Lazarus just desired to have the crumbs off the rich man's table and, of course, was rejected. The Bible says that Lazarus died and there was in paradise in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell and was tormented. And there he looked there up and saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom there in paradise. And there was a great gulf fixed between them. And I don't have time to get into all the theology, but before Christ arose from the dead, hell was in the center of the earth, and so was paradise. They were both there. There's a great gulf fixed between the two. When an Old Testament saint died, they went to paradise. The Bible says the rich man looked up and saw Lazarus and begged him that he might just take one drop of water and place it on his tongue. And Abraham described that that could not happen because there was a great gulf fixed between them, and one could not go from one to the other. You see, the rich man was rich here on earth, but in eternity, poor and miserable. Lazarus, who was poor here on earth, was rich and joyful in eternity. See, we must understand this life is short. And all this life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The treasure of Jesus Christ is the most important investment you ever make. And then we think about it being enduring riches. Lastly, enduring riches. In other words, never fades. We invest in things where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves cannot break through, and still we invest in eternity. When we accept Christ as our Savior, that salvation can never be lost. Never be lost. Never be lost. The Bible says there in John 10 that we are, when we get saved, we're placed in God's hand. We're placed in Jesus' hands. Both. And the Bible says no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. I want to remind you, the Bible makes it very clear that once you're saved, you're always saved. We call it the doctrine or the teaching of eternal security. You don't have to be saved 7, 8, 9, 10 times. You just need to be saved one time. You need to get a good dose of it, but you need to get saved one time. Putting your faith, repenting of your sins, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure you can ever have, that He lived, that He died, He rose again. Believing in Him for salvation. And once you put your faith in Him, it's eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. But what does the word mean? Does it mean everlasting or does it mean temporary? It means everlasting. And there are scriptures after scriptures after scriptures that teach us that once we're saved for all eternity. And that's why when I do something wrong during the day and I laid my head down at night, sure, I should try to express to God my regret and that I know I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sinful. I should get cleansed of that sin from the Lord. But what if I lay my head down at night and I don't? What if I fussed with my wife and did some things I shouldn't have done right before I went to bed, and I went to bed that night with sin in my heart? Do I die and go to hell, or I die and go to heaven if I'm saved? I go to heaven.
Amen.
We say, well, then what is the consequences of sin? Well, the Bible says you reap what you sow. There's always consequences for sin. In fact, sin will always take you further than you want to go. Right? And therefore, there is consequence. One of them is breaking fellowship with God. Not that we don't be, are not still His sons or daughters, but the breaking of fellowship with Him. In order for that fellowship to be restored, we have to go to Him and ask for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christians do not go to God and ask for forgiveness for salvation. Christians go to God and ask for forgiveness for fellowship reasons.
Amen.
I desire to know God. I desire to have a fellowship with Him. And He desires a fellowship with me. And when that fellowship is broken, I don't feel right. When that fellowship is broken, when there's sin in my heart, I don't feel right. I can't live that way. And at some point, I have to get it right. Now, sometimes God has to send me through a few hard knocks to get me back around and get me on the right footing. But He always does, man. The Lord loves us. He seeks after us. We are His children. He wants good things for His children. Don't we for ours? It's an enduring riches. Enduring riches. It lasts forever. Don't let anyone deceive you. And there are some denominations out there that teach that you can lose your salvation. But it's not Bible. It's not found there. When we get saved eternally. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. By the way, the Hebrews tells us if you could lose your salvation, then Christ would have to die again for you. And that's not in God's purpose. That's not in God's will. Christ died for us, gave His life for us, and those that find salvation, those who attain salvation through the free gift, have salvation for and ever. There are some who find treasure. They spend it all and within a few months find themselves without anything. I don't know. I've seen some of those specials where families have won the lottery. And within a few months, some of them within a few months, some of them just a couple of years, it's all gone. I'm talking about millions of dollars, all gone. And most of them have said, they wish they'd have never won it. That's a good testimony. Money doesn't buy happiness. Listen, you can lose treasure here on earth. But the treasure you have in Christ cannot be lost. It cannot be lost. It cannot be spent, if you would. Do you have the treasure? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior this morning? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. We'll finish with this one this morning. Matthew chapter 6, a familiar passage to most of you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. A few more thoughts in conclusion. That just means I got about 10 more minutes. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Those who do not have the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ are poor. And those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior are poor. We must understand that this life is short. I mentioned that a moment ago. This life is, the Bible describes it as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. Our life is like dust that is blown away. Our life is like the flower, or like the Texas grass that grows up, and unless you water it, it's gone. Brown, dusty, gone. That's our life. It's just a small, small period of time compared to eternity. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. It's but for a short time. The body is temporary. This is just a temporary housing for my soul and spirit. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, Paul says, the soul and the spirit never die. This is just a tabernacle for my soul and my spirit. And when I physically die, the soul and the spirit will go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Those who are saved and those who have the treasure will die in this life. Their eyes are open in heaven. And those who die in this life poor without Jesus will open their eyes as the rich man did in hell, in torment and flames. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What is a man profited? What is mankind profited if he gained the whole world, if his bank account is completely full, if he lives in the biggest house on the block and he has the nicest cars in his driveway? What shall a man, what shall a woman gain if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? This time on earth is very, very short compared to all eternity. 10,000 years, we've just been started. 10,000 years, we've just begun. Listen, we must see our lives as God sees them. As God sees, it's very short. Don't put your investments here. I'm not saying you don't be wise and make sure you have a retirement and those type of things. But don't primarily keep your focus on what's going on here on earth. Invest in eternity. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Don't die a poor man. I don't mean poor as when it comes to your bank account. I mean poor as it comes to your soul and your spirit. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior this morning? The greatest decision you will ever make is to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Listen, we must find Him. We must find this great treasure. And it's spelled out for us. The Old Testament gives us a roadmap up to Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary and His resurrection. The New Testament gives us the living person who died for us. Listen, the roadmap is very clear that it gives to us Jesus Christ. But Jesus said Himself, "Straight is the gate that leads to everlasting life." Listen, find the gate. Believe and trust in Jesus Christ. He's the greatest treasure you'll have. There's joy in finding treasure. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times that I have experienced finding money on the ground. Not very much. I'll tell you one experience I had. So me and my wife did something that I would never do again. And we got caught in one of these. This has been about 10 years ago. One of these things where you go out and you look at a resort place, you know, those condominium. Well, you know what I'm talking about, right? And they give you stuff. Yeah. Well, it was a neat place. They had an indoor water park thingy and whatever. We said, well, we can go stay there. They give you free 2 or 3 days to stay at their little place. I said, we'll do that. I could put up with their, my wife especially can put up with their little spiel. This has been probably 12, 13 years ago because the kids are real small. I'm getting old. All right, it's all right. And so we were there. I can't even tell you who it was, but we'll go on. So we go through their spiel. We had a good weekend, just a great weekend. It was good. It was worth the little spiel. We went through the whole spiel. Told them, nah, we don't want anything to do with it. But we appreciate you letting us stay at your nice resort for 3 days. And so we went in. The final thing, you had to sign something. And they gave you, now make sure I clarify here. They gave you a ticket, a scratch-off ticket. I didn't buy the scratch-off ticket. Therefore, I wasn't gambling. Everybody with me? They just gave me the scratch-off ticket. I would not buy a lottery ticket. All right. So, they give me the scratch-off ticket. We scratch it off. You hand it back to her, and she says, "You won." Remember that? I said, "Won what?" She said, "You won $1,500. I said, "No." What did I say? I think I said, "Is that in quarters or pennies or what did I say?" I was like, I said, "This is, you know." No, she said, "We're going to, yeah." I said, "Yeah, you know, in dollar increments over the next... 1,500 weeks, or what is it going to be?" I mean, there's a catch somewhere. Wouldn't you do the same thing, most of you? Be like, yeah, sure. She says, "No, we're going to write you a check. They're bringing it over right now." yeah! Five flips and three somersaults, and it was awesome. And they did. They wrote us a check. I'm still surprised. We were one of like four in the nation who won that. I'm like, what are the chances? I've never won anything in my life. And since then, haven't. But I was excited. I'm not going back to that place. At this stage in life, I don't want the $1,500. No. I was excited about, I mean, you would be too if you, you know, some of you have experienced that, winning something or finding something, get excited about it. I know I'm silly, and I'm, but the greatest treasure you can find, the joy I experienced in getting that $1,500 is so minuscule in comparison to having Jesus Christ. Amen. I cannot tell you the effects that Christ has had on my life and the joy that I experience daily from knowing Jesus Christ and having Him as my treasure. And you can have that same joy. You can experience life, not a life that is endured, but a life that is enjoyed by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. To know the treasure, to find the treasure. True joy is revealed in Him. We should take the joy of the Lord and hide it in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against Thee. We should meditate upon it there day in, day and night, that we might be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. The Bible says our leaf will not our tree will prosper. Listen, we should hide it in our heart, the treasure that we have. And then lastly, we should share it with others. The greatest gift that you can share with someone is the gospel. The greatest news that you can share with someone is the good news. Christians, this morning, we're to be a light. We're to tell others of Jesus Christ. We're to be soul winners. We're to tell others of the good news, the greatest treasure that we've ever received. When's the last time you told somebody about the treasure you have? Let's share the treasure. It's a treasure to be shared. Let's all stand. Hymn 534, Cleanse Me. We have a treasure. It's a peculiar treasure. It's one of a kind. It's precious in that it's of infinite value. It's free. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's an enriching treasure in that it's all you need. And then it's an enduring treasure. It never fades, never deteriorates, never ends. Do you have the treasure? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Lord, we thank you this morning for your love for us and sending your Son to die for us. So thankful that He rose again the third day. We thank you for this truth, the gospel, this treasure that we have. I pray, Lord, there's someone here who has never accepted the treasure. Lord, they might accept it today. Lord, I pray as we as Christians might share the treasure this week more than we've done in the past. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, for the joy that we have. In Jesus' name.